pray ourselves to go to God in prayer. Dear God, our Father, we are thankful for this day, this first day of the week, that you have allowed us to come together as brothers and sisters in Christ, to study your word, to have your word preached unto us. Your word is truth, and your word will judge us in our final day. When we come before you, Father, your word will condemn us or set us free. We cannot go on what someone said, how I think, what I believe, but only on your word, which is truth. What is the worst sin that we may commit? Is it murder? Is it adultery? Is it lying or stealing? All of these will separate us from God, but we must repent of our sins and be reunited with God. David was considered to be a man after God's own heart. And why was this so? Because David committed all these sins, adultery, murder, lying, stealing. Every time he committed a sin, he repented of that sin, got right with God. This is what we must do as individuals, Christians today. Your word, Father, will lead us and guide us through this world, through the trials and tribulations that we may encounter as we live. We live in two worlds. We live in a spiritual world and we live in this physical world. But while we're in this physical world, we still need to prepare ourselves to live eternity in heaven or hell. The choice is ours. We read God's word and we should come up with the correct way to go. There's only one way to go. This way leads to heaven, but there's another way that leads to hell. And there are so many people who have chosen to walk this broad way that leads to hell. And again, Father, we are thankful for all that we have, but especially for Christ, who willingly went to the cross and died for our sins. This prayer I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Our scripture reading, again, is taken from Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 8. But now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you our potter. And all we are, the work of your hands. I have read Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 8. Thank you.
Our God, he's alive. As we prepare our thoughts and mind for the man of God, let us prepare our thoughts. And at the third, on the third stanza, we'll stand on the third stanza. We got four stanzas. We'll stand on the third stanza.
There is beyond thee as a blue, a God concealed from human sight. He tinted the skies with heavenly hue and framed the world with his great mind. There is a God, he is alive. In him we live and we survive. From dust our God createth man. He is our God, the great I am. There was a long, long time ago a God whose voice the prophets heard. He is the God that we should know, who speaks from his inspired word. There is a God, he is alive. In him we live and we serve our from dust our God createth man. He is our God, the great I am. Secure is life from mortal mind. God hold the germ within his hand. Though men may search, they cannot find, for God alone does understand. There is a God, he is alive, in him we live and we survive. From dust our God createth man, he is our God, the great I am. Our God, whose son up on a tree alive was willing there to give, that he from sin might set men free, and evermore with him could live. There is a God, he is alive, in him we live, and we survive. From dust our God createth man, he is our God, the great I am.
James chapter 1, verses 17 through 18. Every good and every perfect gift is from above, and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Amen. Good morning, good morning, and good morning. And whether you're a member of this Franklin family, whether you're a visitor with us this morning, or virtual guest, I'm grateful that you are here today and grateful that God has brought us together for yet another opportunity for worship, praise, and fellowship among the saints of God. And shortly, I'm going to my Bible to Matthew. That's chapter 6, Matthew chapter 6. And my invitation is for you to join me there, as these verses will serve as a context for today's lesson, Our Father. Matthew chapter 6 will serve as a context for today's lesson, Our Father. And I tell you, it sure is good to see all of you this morning as we celebrate Father's Day. And I want to say happy Father's Day to those of you that are fathers this morning. And I hope that your children have celebrated and honored you thus far today as well as their dad. Because we know that dads usually have the answer for just about everything. And then I think to myself, just when you have the answer, they create Siri and have a woman tell you a direction to go. But nevertheless, dad is that go-to guy when you need things fixed. Dad usually knows the grill. He knows the garage, and dad usually knows the game as well. And I hope that you, as a father, get to have a good Father's Day today and honor God as you go throughout your day as well. Because see, just like Mother's Day, and I don't want to take this for granted, but just like Mother's Day, for some, Father's Day elicits a lot of different emotions. It really does. For many of us, our fathers have passed on from this life. He's no longer with us. But there are others in this audience, I know, that are the relationship with your father is not all you wanted it to be. There are those of us that are here as well. The relationship isn't what you would have prayed for it to be. And for some of you, he was an absent father. I mean, you can reach out and touch him, but he wasn't involved in your life in a way that seemed to matter. And I personally understand that pain. But today, Some of you are blessed. Blessed to be sitting by your Father and blessed to be in his presence. And if that's you today, you be sure and tell him how much, how very much you love and appreciate your Father on this day. Now today as well, I would like to tip my hat, my head, and my heart to our Father. If God was to introduce himself to us, how would he do that? How would God introduce himself to us? Well, the very first line on the very first page of the first book of the Bible, God does just that. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And from the onset, God uses the word Elohim for himself, which is indicative of his great, great power. And that power was so important because he uses that word over 2,000 times in the Old Testament referring to himself. Then there are statements that we see in Moses' encounter with God in Exodus chapter 3, where God says, I am who I am. I am who I am, Moses. So if you want to present me, announce me, or describe me to people, you just tell them that I am who I am. It's his covenant name, you see. It's his covenant name given for us to use forever. And we typically use the name Jehovah or Yahweh. But it's that covenant name of God that's used thousands of times to tell us just who God is. So this morning, I want to call your attention to God as our Father. And what's interesting is that in the Old Testament, God is spoken of as Father only 14 times. 14 times. Pretty interesting. Only 14 times. And it's not used individually. It's not used personally. He is the God and Father of all. He's the God of creation, the God of power. He's the God who thundered on Sinai to the point where the Israelites said, look, Moses, you go talk to him. He has so much power and majesty. We can't talk to him. We will not survive. But in the New Testament, you'll find that there's a dramatic shift in things. Jesus refers to God as being his Father over 150 times. And he refers to God being our Father 30 times. And that's a tremendous shift from Old Testament to New Testament. And as if Jesus is saying, here's how I want you to see God. Here's how I want you to look at God. I want you to see him as your Father. And when you look at all the prayers of Jesus, with the exception of the prayer on the cross, my God, why have thou forsaken me? In every other prayer, when Jesus references God, he addresses him as my Father, or simply Father. In the New Testament, there's an Aramaic word that we use. It's called Abba. A word which is a term of endearment, a term of affection. It indicates a relationship of love and closeness and intimacy and care. Abba, Abba, Father. But in Matthew 6, 16 times, Jesus will speak about the Father. My Father, your Father, and our Father. And we commonly see it in what's known as the Lord's Prayer. We're going to look at some familiar scriptures this morning, so I want to bring to your attention our Father. Matthew chapter 6, you have your Bibles? We're going to be in verse number 5 and read through verse number 15. And when you pray, you should not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think they will be heard of for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. In this manner, therefore, pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed is your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses. You know, when you look at this prayer, the implication is pretty clear. And we see God's fingerprints all over this prayer. As for Jesus, sometimes Jesus would pray all night long. He would pray hour after hour after hour. But this prayer is short, it's simple, and it covers so much. This prayer is to the point. He says, when you pray, pray like this, our Father. Two words I think we take for granted a whole lot in our lives. We talk about it. We sing about it. But do we live as if God is our Father? He says, when you pray, I want you to pray like this, our Father. Over and over in these verses is the emphasis. Your Father, your Heavenly Father, our Father. So the question is, what can we glean from this about our Father? I've got three things I want to present to you this morning about our Father. The first thing is that he is our Father, but he's so very different from each and every one of us. And Jesus goes to some length to say that. There are a lot of contrasts, for instance. Jesus says that God is in heaven and we are not. His name is holy and ours certainly is not. God possesses a kingdom and we certainly do not. He has the power to provide us bread, lead us not into temptation, and forgive our sins. He has the power to deliver us from the evil one. It's power we simply do not have. We look at Isaiah chapter 40 and verses 18 and 25. The Bible says, to whom then will you liken God? Or what likeness will you compare to him? To whom then will you liken me? Or to whom shall I be equal? Says the Holy One. You know, we can't be compared to God either. We just can't. Because we are so very different than the Almighty God. Our God is incomparable. He has no equal. It's the God that calls the stars out by their names. It's the God that calls them out at night and he knows when one dies. It's the God that knows when the stars are even born. And you and I can't even fathom that. Can't fathom that. For your thoughts are not my thoughts, Isaiah 55, and your ways are not my ways, says God. The heavens are higher than the earth and my ways are higher than your ways. We can't even fathom the mind of God outside of the scriptures. And we are so very different than God. And even though we are so very different from God, I don't want you to miss this. We are made in his own image. His own image. We have a soul that is everlasting. We have a conscience that can be guided. We have free will that can be exercised. We can reason and be taught. We can be influenced. And we're responsible for what we say and what we do. And because he is our Father, we're related to him. And we're related to each other. And related to our elder brother, Jesus the Christ, God's Son. I mean, just walking in the same relationship with God and with the Son and with the Spirit, walking in the light and having partnership, walking in having fellowship, walking in having communication with each other in this relationship this morning. Every household that has a father ought to have that in their household. The children in that household ought to be walking in fellowship one with another, sitting at the table and having communion with each other, and having a wonderful relationship between them and their father as well. And that's a relationship that's made only possible by a true and the living God. We are of God's family. We are his children. He is our God, and he is our Father. But what that means when you look at the prayer is that we are more than physical. We have a divine connection. We are simply not earthbound at all. If you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, let me show you. A lot of people are familiar with this scripture as well. 2 Corinthians 6, 14 and 18. But what ties the scripture with the prayer is this what Paul says. 2 Corinthians 6, 14 through 18. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with darkness, and what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. You are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, you come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. Listen to what he says. I will receive you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and my daughters, says the Lord Almighty. I will be a father to you. How sometimes people long to hear those words from their earthly father. I will be a father. Most of the time, fathers hear the old cliche, you're not my dad. You're not my father. Unfortunately, when we behave in a manner with this world, we're saying the same thing to God. You're not my father. But the God who loves us, as we spoke about last week, the God who calls us, he says, I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters. But you got to want that. Got to want that. And what upholds that and what sustains that is what Jesus said in this Lord's Prayer. He said, he is our Father. And we ought to live in such a way that is indicative of the nature of our Father. How are you living? Are we living our lives as if God is our Father? You're not your own. You were bought with a price. And because you're not your own and because you were bought with a price, he says you ought to glorify God in your body and your spirit because they belong to God. He's our Father. And this is what I want you to know, because so many people are so used to doing things by themselves, for themselves. He is a Father who is engaged and connected in our everyday lives. The prayer in Matthew 6, it can't be read without seeing that. Jesus is clearly saying that. Your Father knows what you need before you even ask. We don't even know what we need, but God knows what we need before we even ask. I want you to listen to the activity of God in that prayer. And he says that God provides our daily bread. He's our Father. He says that God forgives us our sins. He is our Father. God leads us not into temptation and deliver us from the power of the evil one. He is our Father. But our God is more than just the God of heaven. God is the God of today. He's connected to you today, and he's caring for you even right now, today. He's our Father. A father who's not only interested in you spiritually, but as the prayer indicates, God cares for you physically also. He gives us our daily bread. You know, in the triad of parables in Luke chapter 15, again, a familiar text. It's a triad of lost sheep and a lost coin and this most famous one, the parable of the lost son or the prodigal son. We see the father in that parable of the prodigal son clearly as a good man and one who represents God. But every father is not a good man. Amen. But in this story of the prodigal, we see that the man represents God and he's a good man. But there's some things that you may not have ever considered in this parable. I want you to look at these few things with me. Just track with me for a minute. We find that in this parable, the father provided for the needs of his family. That's number one in our lives, isn't it? You grow up, you go to school, you get a job, and you provide for your, amen? It always was taught, and it should be taught, a man ought to provide for his family. This father, in the story of the prodigal, had tremendous resources. He had cattle. He had a multiplicity of garments. His resources were so much that he had enough food to supply a spontaneous celebration. Let's go eat right now. Fired up the grill. He said, let's get it. This father was so generous. And I need you to see this. This father was so generous beyond what was reasonably expected. Because in Luke 15, 11, and 12, when the boy comes and requests his inheritance right now, he says, I want it before you die. That was unheard of. And yet the father was generous beyond what could have been reasonably expected of him at that time. Much like our father, much like God, who has tremendous resources. a God that provides for our needs and is generous beyond what we reasonably expect of him, even right now. And there's no wonder why the Bible is steeped in passages about not only that God is able, but that God is also he's willing. Not only is our God able, he's also willing to do those things for his children. You find some fathers that are not able and some are not willing and some just won't be willing or able, but not God. Our God is willing and he's able to do above everything that you ask or even imagine. Let's look at Daniel chapter 3 and verse number 17 and 18. It tracks that out. We find Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego at the furnace of fire. And they say, if this is the case, our God whom we serve, talking to the king, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, I want you to know, if he doesn't do that, we will not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. And the king, he responded by saying, the God you serve will deliver you. And in fact, he did. God delivered them. Our God is willing and able. We have a God who stands with us. Paul said at my first defense, everyone abandoned me, but not the Lord. The Lord didn't do that. The Lord stood with me, and the Lord strengthened me, and the Lord delivered me. A lot of us this morning can have that testimony. We do have that testimony. God has never abandoned us, even though we felt as if he was not there. If we felt that God was not there, he was not the one that left. We were the ones that walked away from the true and the living God. God's going to stand by you. He's going to strengthen you, and our God will deliver you because he is our Father. When the Israelites were oppressed in Egypt, it was God who delivered them. When Paul was in a Roman prison, it was God who delivered him. God, our Father, is able. He's more than able. I mean, when we don't want to stumble and fall, God is able to keep us from stumbling and falling. There are those of us who don't want to just keep stumbling. God is able to keep us from stumbling and falling. He's willing to provide a way of escape for us, but we've got to open our hearts and we've got to embrace that. God is also able to show us a better way. John 10 says, Jesus has come to give us life and give it to us abundantly. The Hebrew writer has stated that in Christ we have a new and better way. God is able to show us a better way. And the point of all of that is that God is connected to all of us. He's connected to us each and every day of our lives. You know, there was a phrase that when I was a little boy, it's probably still around today. It says, God doesn't sleep. Our God doesn't sleep. In fact, Jeremiah said it this way in Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 and 23. He says, through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed. Because his compassion does not fail us. His love does not fail us. It's new every morning, and great is your faithfulness. So the question would be, if God is connected to us, are we connected to God? There's too much of a disconnect when it comes to serving God. We speak about being connected to God, but really spiritually we are disconnected from God. God plays an integral role in our lives every single day. He's connected to us. Are we connected to God? Some folks just can't seem to find a connection with their physical fathers. For whatever reason it might be, they just can't seem to connect with them at all. We're connected to God, and God wants to be connected. He's willing and able to do that. And if we're not connected to God, let me just ask you these questions. I want you to think about this for a second. Contemplate these thoughts. Do we leave God at this building on Sundays and Wednesdays? Do we just leave him here? Do we forget about God when we're at work? Do we forget about God when we're on a date? Do we turn to God only in times of crisis? Listen, he is our Father who is engaged, connected, and involved in our everyday lives. So the question still remains, are we involved with our Father in the same way? Do we tip our hat towards God the same way that God tips his hat towards us? Do we love the Father as much as the Father loves us? Gotta think about that. Here's what I want you to think about as well. And the brother alluded to that this morning in Sunday Bible school. If you missed that, I want to invite you to be present in the Bible class on Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. I want to invite you to be present at the Bible class on Sunday mornings, 9 a.m. The brother does a wonderful job with that, amen? He is a Father who includes us in his eternal plans. Let's take another look at that prayer. Jesus said in Matthew 6:10, I want you to pray these words. Pray your kingdom come. Pray your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The kingdom always comes into play in our lives if we are to be included in the kingdom rule of God. Jesus said that the kingdom is within you. But in the kingdom, in the terms of church or the kingdom rule in our individual lives, we are asked to be a part of that work with God. The Father will include us in his eternal plan. Let's take a second to qualify this. To be honest, God's kingdom and God's will is greater than any kingdom that you might have. It's greater than any will that you might have. In Daniel chapter 2 and verse 21, it bears that out. In the kingdom that is created by God, this created world, this kingdom, he changes the times and the seasons. In the kingdom of men, he removes kings and raises up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. Or Solomon put it this way, Proverbs 21:1. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. Like the rivers of water, he turns it wherever he wishes. I want you to see that no matter what you might think or when you're taking God for granted, that God intervenes in this world. He intervenes in the kingdoms of men. His providence is at work all the time in our lives. He says in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 4, that God chose us before the beginning of the world. He chose us before the foundation, before a tree was even planted, God chose us that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. He is our Father. He chose us. And when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law that we might redeem those of us that were under the law. This is all of God's work. This is God's will. This is God's kingdom, and we're invited to participate in that kingdom. Amen. Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Of first importance, you seek God in his kingdom. Whether as a church or individually, you seek the Father and invite somebody and influence somebody and serve one another and build someone up in the most holy faith of God. Seek him. Because God trusts us enough. Listen to me. God trusts. I don't know how much our trust is in God. You know, we waffle from time to time. But God trusts us enough in this plan that there is no plan B. None. If we don't honor the wishes of the Father, thy will not be done. So what's the use in the prayer? Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. If we don't honor the wishes of our Father, you know, we drag that stuff from the house, we bring it into church, we don't want to listen to what Daddy got to say. If we don't honor the wishes of our Father, his will not be done. And his will involves souls. Souls, listen to me. The will of our Father involves souls, and we've got to do our part. Because if someone loses our soul because we fail to communicate to them this gift, this treasure of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, where will we be? What will become of us? It involves souls, and the grace of God allows us to partake in that. Will you? Are you doing it? Do you honor God in that? The Father in this parable in Luke 15 clearly represents God. And it teaches us about how God cares for us. The Father provided for his family, and our Heavenly Father continues to provide for us, his children, as well. The Father was also generous beyond what was then and what is now expected. He renews his mercies for us every single day. And to that, I want to add one simple thought. In that parable, the Father was willing to forgive a serious offense. Listen to me. And move on. And move on. Don't miss that. God, our Father, stands willing and waiting to forgive his children of the most egregious sins that we commit against him. Listen to me. And move on. I would imagine that there are many who have been forgiven a lot by your physical father, just cutting up. There are a lot of us sitting in here who have been forgiven a lot by our physical fathers. Maybe you wasted his money and he forgave you. Maybe you violated the family values and your father forgave you. Maybe you trampled his name in the streets and he forgave you. Maybe you even embarrassed your father with ungodly actions and he forgave you. Maybe you spoke words to your father that no child should ever utter to any parent. Is that real? You better believe it is. Words that no child should ever utter. And maybe you cut your eyes at your dad. You shouldn't do that either. And maybe you walked up on him a little bit because you might be a little bit bigger than him now, so you want to test the waters. And he forgave you. Today would be a good day to reconcile and let him know how much you love and appreciate him. And your father will do what the father did in the parable. He'll forgive you and he'll move on. And I want to say to you fathers, if you have angered your children in some way, you need to be the father that goes and reconciles with your children. There are too many strained relationships between fathers and their children. Too many. There are too many strained relationships between us and God. But God comes to us and he pleads with us. He wants us to return and be reconciled back to him, but we have to open up our hearts and minds and embrace that. And in like manner, I want you to remember this one thing. Our Heavenly Father will forgive us all of our sins. He'll forgive us our trespasses. And you know what he'll do? He'll move on. God will move on past that. You'll be the only one keeping it in your corner of mind. You'll be the only one remembering it. 10 years ago, I was supposed to take the trash out for Dad. I didn't do it, and Dad spanked me. You'll never. He's moved on from that. You're a grown man now. You don't have to take Dad's trash out anymore. You got your own trash. Move on. Move on. Honor your father because he's standing willing and waiting to forgive you every last one of your trespasses. And move on. There's some of us sitting here today that know that we've done things in our lives that's caused separation between us and God. Our sins have separated us from God. Let me just say this. You can't run hard enough. You can't run far enough, and you can't run fast enough from God. You might have did that when you was a child from your father, but you had to come home. Amen. Eventually had to come home and what we call face the music. I'm calling you home this morning. I'm calling you home to our Father. You got to stop running. Because we live in the real world. Whether people want to face reality or not, we live in a real world. And fathers are at a big disparity. I wish they were at a premium, but they're not. Just because you grow up to be a man, because you come of age, doesn't mean that you're going to be a good father. And just because you later didn't have a baby, doesn't mean you're going to be a good father. Our God is our Father. And he set us a good example. even through the Christ. He came and he loved us when we were unlovable. He came and he took away our sins when we were just filthy rags. We're talking about a father who takes care of his own, who doesn't neglect his own, a father who gives us our daily bread, a father who delivers us from our sins and temptations, a father who delivers us from the evil one. You know, most times you see a father in the home as an example of a protector. But let that door get knocked down. You see the dad leaving out there first. And the kids and the mother running behind him. Where are you going, Daddy? Gotta get out of here. Our God is a protector. He sees you. He loves you. And his will for your life is one that you ought to just embrace. Stop doing things for yourself. Your father has more wisdom than you give him credit for. God has more wisdom than we give him credit for. Yeah, you're a grown man now. Yeah, you're a teenager now. Yeah, you think you can do what you want to do, but you don't even know what you need. Our God knows what we need, so we need to yield to him and let him have his way with each and every one of us. Again, you can't run hard enough. You can't run far enough, and you can't run fast enough from God. And what I need you to see this morning is, above all, that our God is willing to forgive serious offenses. He's willing to forgive our serious offenses and just move on. Just move on. Fathers, people that understand the garage and the game and the grill. But our physical fathers here ought to understand that big G, that God that we serve. He's our Father. We need him to understand God so that his family can follow suit. Every now and then there's a little kink in the road where the son will come up and ask unashamedly for his possessions. And God will give them to you. He will grant that to you. When you look around and find that a pig pen is no place for a little Jewish boy, and he starts to come home, you see God standing in the horizon looking for you. He sees you coming. And he has so much resources that he says, listen, my son was lost, but now he's found. He's coming home. Fire up the grill. Fire it up. What a wonderful God we serve. Because there's not many people that are willing to fire up the grill for their children. And not many people are willing to lead their children to God. They talk a good game, but their lives don't represent that. They say one thing and they do another. I need you to tip your hat to God if you're a father today. If you're a child of your father, show him how much you love him and appreciate him today. Honor him. Be reconciled unto your father. Too many things out there that causes strife and relationships to be not what they ought to be. Love covers a multitude of sins. Amen. It's Father's Day. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And Father's Day isn't recognized as much as Mother's Day. I can't tell you the reason for that. As a matter of fact, one year I was reading on Father's Day where there was a news article and they were talking bad things about men. They would never do that on Mother's Day. I mean, if women knew all the directions and where to go, they wouldn't put a man on that for Siri for her, but they. Happy Father's Day. Our God leads us, directs us. He gives us bread. He delivers us from the evil one. He is our Father. If we want to take advantage of that and live our lives in a way that God calls us to live, he calls us to hear his word, John 8:32. He calls us to hear it. You know, in Romans 10:17, he says, faith comes by hearing, hearing comes by the word of God. We've got to believe that Jesus is the Christ. Hebrews 11:6 says, for without faith, it is impossible to believe. It's impossible to please God. Because those that are going to come to him, first of all, believe that he is, and he's the reward of those that diligently seek him. We've got to repent of our sins. Next, 1730, at the Areopagus, with all those wise men who thought they were smarter than God, Paul says, I'm going to tell you about a God that you don't know. In times past, God winked at ignorance. But he commands men everywhere to repent of their sins. That's what we got to do to get to know the Father. We got to confess Jesus Christ, Romans 10:10. All with the heart, righteousness comes into our lives. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. We got to be baptized in water for remission of our sins. Mark 16:15-16. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ. Nope, that's Galatians 3:26-27. Mark 16:15-16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. You know, growing up in a house with a father and a mother is a wonderful blessing. But sometimes when you look at the story of prodigal son, you find that the man was a good man. He represented God. But every household that's represented here today will find that every man in the house is not a good man. There was a son who walked away. There was a son who was there, and he wasn't present at the time either because his mind was just so tore up. He was mad with his father every day. So he wasn't there. He was also prodigal. He was gone. But there are times in our lives when our Father is present in the house, but he's not present in any other way in our lives. If you're a father like that, you can reconcile with your children. You can do better. We can all do better. I want to say Happy Father's Day to you. Let's tip our hats to God, and let's tell our fathers how much we do love and appreciate them. And we can help you with the gospel to be a part of this kingdom that God has purchased with his own blood. Once it comes, we stand and sing the invitation song.
His son, they called him Jesus. He came to love.
Whether you want to respond to the gospel today, will you come?
Forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon.
Will you want to respond to the gospel of Christ today? Will you come?
An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lived. Because he lived, I can face tomorrow. Because he lived, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future and life is